we'll do the best that we can. Let's begin. Din Muktzeh. Arba Mine Muktzeh. Muktzeh is something which most people know very little about, unfortunately. Yeah. It's an area of halacha which is very confusing. And okay, so let's hope that we can accomplish something. We can have a better appreciation of Muktzeh. Arba Mine Muktzeh. The Chayadam says there are four types of Muktzeh. You can bet that if the Chayadam is telling there are four, he has to start by saying that probably a lot of other commentators tell you there are a lot more than four.
What
there's
is the Sherish?
Five, six.
The word Muktzeh.
Set aside. Kotzeh. Kotzeh means to set aside. It's kotz. Kotz means like the kids Chayamim. No. Katzti b'chayai. That's the same idea. Katzti means it's set aside. It's disgusting. What do you set aside? Sometimes you set aside things that are very choshev. Sometimes you set aside things that are disgusting. And sometimes you set aside things that you just don't need. I don't need today. Today I'm not going to use it.
How do you say mixa in English?
What, muksa?
Yeah.
How do you say muksa in English? Good question. How do you say muksa in English? Set aside.
It's like something being pushed aside.
That has different connotation. Do you push it aside? Is it active? See, that's the big difference. That's different types of muksa. Sometimes you push it aside. That's more severe. Sometimes I don't think it just happens to be set aside.
Has set is better. Push you cannot do it.
It's
in
not
Shabbat.
Push is worse. If you push it away,
it should be
then
Shabbat.
It's forbidden. The prohibition is much more severe. If it just happens to be set aside, then there are exceptions when you're allowed to touch it to use it. Let's see. Arba meaning muktzehem. If he's telling us there are four different categories, you can be sure that other commentators will tell you that there are more than four. There's five, six, seven. Indeed, we're going to see there are many different subcategories. But he just says the general is muktzeh machmas mi'us, something which is detestable, disgusting, human waste. Human waste, something which is detestable. So therefore, if there is human waste in an area now in Shabbos, is a great time now to clean it up. Shabbos, it's not in your way. It's not, you know, it's in another room. It's in another section. That's something that it's called. Well, let's say even if you have on the table, you finish eating, and on the table there is something which is, you know, the leftover dishes. The leftover dishes, it's disgusting. So that's called muksa machmas mi'us. And there are different categories of when you're allowed to clean off the table, graf shel rei, bedpan, things like that, things that are getting in your way. But that's the general rule. Muktzeh midas. Erev Shabbos, you deliberately decide, I do not want to use this object on Shabbos, even something which is permitted, something which is a sefer. I have a very nice sefer. I have a chumash. I don't want to use it because it's valuable. There's certain value. Right. It doesn't belong to me.
Right.
Or okay, we'll see. We'll see different situations. Let's just keep getting concepts. Muktzeh midas. Number three, muktzeh machmas isur. This object is used to do things which are forbidden on Shabbos. A pen. A pen is used to do a malacha derais of kisiva. So a pen is a utensil, it's a kli, but it's a kli that's forbidden for use on Shabbos, because on Shabbos you're not allowed to write. So that's called muksa machmas isur. And then there's muktzeh machmas mitzvah. This object is used for mitzvah purposes. Let's say a chalaf, let's say a nai. Well, that's really what's machmas isur. You know, the shechita. But let's say we have to see the examples he gives. We'll see the examples. Let's keep in mind these four categories. We'll see the examples as we go through the halachas. Muksa. Let's try to cover some ground. Muksa machmas mi'us. Kegoy ner cheres. Yoshan shaliku b'bechol. You have a receptacle, a ner. In time of Chazal, a ner, a candle. That's really a receptacle in which you put, it's made from earthenware, and you fill it up with oil, and you add a wick. So so right now on Shabbos, it's not been lit. It was lit during the weekday, and it was not lit on Shabbos at all. But this object is something which is mo'os. It's disgusting. The oil with ash. It's just something which is disgusting. People do not want to touch it, because you touch it, you're going to get dirty. It's not pleasant to look at either. Ner cheres yashir liko b'bechol v'shafud shel eit shetolim bo dogim, a spit of wood that it's used to hang fish. So it's disgusting. It's full of oil. V'chelim hatsoyim, utensils which are dirty. There's some human waste on it. Let's say a bedpan that's empty. Af al gav the yesh oim. Some say the b'yom tov asur. Some want to suggest that dafka b'yom tov, it's asur, the dafka biyamtav mishum the kill v'shtamish matzui v'osei lizelzulei lohitzi af avonim uchiyotzei bo shol tzorchlal lekach hechmiru chachamel. Now he's saying over here an idea which is there's truth to this idea. This is a very important idea which is surprising, and that is we have a rule that yamtiv is identical to Shabbos. In fact, Yom Tov is more lenient than Shabbos in regard to Bishul, right? Bishul, you're allowed two things. You're allowed to do on Shabbos, you're allowed to carry. You're allowed to carry on Shabbos, and you're allowed to, on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. There's no restriction whatsoever. And you are allowed to, I take it back. There is restriction. You're only allowed to carry things that you need. And Yom Tov, you're allowed to light and allowed to cook. Cooking, anything that's the tzorich oichel nefesh. Without going into all the details, those things are mutter. Therefore, person's mind that these two things are permitted, it causes the person to be mezalzel in the kedusha of Yom Tov. If these things are mutter, everything is mutter. Everything really goes. A person can very easily get carried away and do things on Yom Tov which are clearly forbidden. To counteract this frame of mind, Chazal said, "We're gonna put you in your place by increasing the laws of muksa. The laws of muksa on Yom Tov are more chamor than the laws of muksa on Shabbos. How? That we have to see clarify how where exactly. Only really a very few examples, but that is a general rule." The general rule is because in the person's mind, Yom Tov is more lenient because of Haitzah and cooking, Oichel Nefesh. In order to counteract this attitude, Chazal made the laws of Muksa more severe on Yom Tov. So here the Chai Adam is telling us, there are those who want to suggest that the prohibition of Muksa Machmas Niyot is such an example. Something that's Muksa Machmas Niyot is only Osir on Yom Tov and not Osir on Shabbos. And this is coming to reject. Someone may make this mistake. Read the words again one more time. Afal Gav, even though the Yesh, second line, the base, the Yeshamim, the Yom Tov, only on Yom Tov it's Osir. That Muksa Machmas Niyot is something that is unique to Yom Tov. Why? And he explains. Dafka, the Yom Tov Mishum, the kill, since Yom Tov is a day when there are a lot of leniencies, they have a Tashmish Motsui, and you use things. In other words, on Yom Tov, a Klicheres. On Yom Tov, are you allowed to use a Klicheres for a Ner Klicheres? Yes. On Yom Tov, Havar is Mutter. On Yom Tov, if you have a Klicheres that is lit from before Yom Tov, you're allowed to move it around. You're allowed to be mishtamish with or on Yom Tov, so you're allowed to mishtamish the klicheres. Therefore, since you're allowed to use fire, you also lizulu lohitzi af avon mechayotzei bo shlomo tzorchlal. Once we let you use on Yom Tov a fire, you let you carry around a fire. You may also come to carry stones and things which you have absolutely no use for at all, which is forbidden. Lekachech miru chachamim. That's why the Chacham will machmir on Yom Tov not to be metalta l'klicheres because it's disgusting. Avol b'Shabbos, but on Shabbos mutar l'talta l'kol zeh. You're allowed to be metalta l'muksa machmas mius. The ein adam makze midaito dover harolei l'hishtamish boi. A person does not put out of his mind something that is fit for use. Kevin sheyesh olav toras kli. The bottom line is a klicheres is a utensil. If something is called a utensil, it is automatically mutter. Yeah, it's a utensil. So, it's maos. So it's maos. So it's disgusting. So at times I use utensils which are disgusting. This is something which a person would think to say, that the prohibition of muksa, a kli, that's muksa machmas mis, only unique to Yom Tov, being that Yom Tov you're allowed to move things around, and you may fall down this slippery slope and end up taking things like which is also mamish, like stones and things which are not utensils, and carry them into the Rishus Sarabim. So therefore there was a need to make an enactment that something which is muksa machmas mis is also on Yom Tov as well, but not on Shabbos, because on Shabbos anyway you're not going to take something out into the Rishus Sarabim no matter what. So therefore the Chai Adam says, no, don't say that. That's not correct. On Shabbos, there is also a principle called Muksa Machmas Mius. And therefore, if you have, at least in this example, a piece of wood that was used to hang fish, or you have a kli, a ner, a shulcheres, it is muksa machmas mius. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Halacha gimel. Muksa midas. What is called muksa midas? Nechlak letisha afanim. So here we go down and going to 9 different examples of muksa midas. The gam is that he tilled the tatl of Shabbos katsasim, and even these non-categories, there's sometimes it's going to be motor. Avagav, they also be, even though on Yom Tov, so here's right away illustrating that on Yom Tov is Muhammad and Shabbos. Vehem arba afanim shetir b'Shabbos. And here we're going now, the 4 different situations when it's mutter to use a utensil that even though you set it aside midas, it's still going to be mutter. Number one is pan echad, means oifan. Pan is short for the word oifan, the first situation. Davar sheroy lemachal adam uvehema afal pi shiksoy so midati melechal b'shabbos machmash ein lemachal adam ella ayde atchach. You're going dogim shemolchem erev Shabbos, fish that has been salted erev Shabbos, v'chein basa chay raw meat, rach that's soft, v'oichlan oisoy ayde atchach b'shas atchach, you eat these things, v'afil loy nimlachal nim, it has not been salted at all, because you do not need to salt raw meat. Raw meat can be eaten without salting. We know that you don't kasher meat. Kasher meat, you have to salt it. That's only when you plan on cooking it, because when you cook it, the blood's going to come out. But if you're not planning to cook the meat, so the blood's not going to come out, the blood is absorbed inside the walls of the meat, you do not need to salt the meat. You're allowed to chew raw meat. Now, who would chew? Is that roi l'achila? So obviously, it depends. Obviously, we're dealing with a certain type of meat which b'shas hadchak is roi l'achila. So here is the chiddush. You have in front of you meat, raw meat, or you have in front of you fish that has been salted. In your mind, it is not fit for consumption. I will not eat this on Shabbos. I'm putting this in the freezer, I'm putting this in the refrigerator, and the fish is salted, which means it's being preserved for a later point in time. I have made a deliberate decision before Shabbos begins that this will not be eaten on Shabbos because it's raw. The meat is raw, the fish has been salted, it needs to be soaked to remove the salt. And when am I going to eat this? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This was my decision. I've made this decision on Erev Shabbos. I put it away. But now on Shabbos, there's nothing to eat. On Shabbos now, whatever happened, my food was spoiled, got burnt, whatever happened, there's nothing to eat. The only thing I have available is this fish or this meat. Am I allowed to eat it? So you would say it's muksa. Since before Shabbos began, you set it aside, you pushed it aside. The chiddush is that since b'shas hadchak, it can be eaten, you will eat raw meat, and you will eat meat, fish has been salted. Even though you were hiktsia midas, it is permitted, it's mutter, you would eat it, therefore it's not muksa, and you can touch it, you can move it around, and of course, if you want, you can even eat it. This is the first exception. Number two, oifen beis, pan beis, sheroy l'achila afilu b'loy hadchak. Number two is, it's roy l'achila, ideally it's roy l'achila. Aval hiksa midayt l'ochla mitam shiksa yisan l'schoyra, merchandise. You're in the business of selling mishloach manos. Okay, you own onats, and you have all these beautiful baskets. You're preparing it, and you're making. This is your business. This is the merchandise. This is not something that I eat. But on Shabbos, you're hungry. You want that chocolate bar. You want on Shabbos that candy. You want that bottle of wine. You want it. But it's my merchandise. I'm using this for schayra. B'shas atchak, it's mutter. You're allowed what?
It's packaged.
It's all packaged, and therefore it's all merchandise. But the fact is, since that it's roi l'achila b'shas tach, you can eat it. Mitam shiksoy so b'schar avish nusel le'oitzu. You put away in the storage. V'chein beitzim shnoitzim tachas atanagolas. You have eggs, and the eggs have been put under the chicken. Legadel efreichem. Another example over here. They are in the incubator. A living incubator. Human. The chicken over here is sitting on the eggs. So if you do that, it turns into a chicken, and that means it gets full of blood. But at least for the beginning period of time, you can be certain there is no blood. The egg comes out of a chicken, so if you eat it right away, there's no blood. You put under another chicken that it should turn into another chicken. So by doing that, you're showing, I'm not going to eat it. Because in a few moments, in a day or two, it's going to be full of blood because it's going to turn into a chicken. But in the meantime, it has not yet reached that point. So right now, if I want, I can still reverse the process. I can take it, I can eat it, I can cook it. Even though I went and I put it aside, another example, I put wheat in the ground. I want it to take root and to produce wheat, but right now it has not yet taken root. even though I set it aside by putting it into the ground, still it's royal achil, you can take it out of the ground. Afil achidim shoson b'karka, da'af al-gav, shodachon b'yodayim, I put it in mice b'yodayim, v'neschav in l'zriya, kevon shadayim lo nishrishu, they have not yet taken root, u'ru'uyin l'achila, ein hak tza'osay klum, your designation is meaningless, the dietish adam l'achsov l'imelach achila, when it comes to food, you always have in the back of your mind, when push comes to shove, I'm going to eat the food. Okay, so that's really two examples. Something that's not even royal achila l'chatchila, raw meat, salted fish. Number two, it's royal achila, but it's been set aside for business purposes. Or it's been put in the ground, or the egg has been put under the chicken. Imamish did a maisa. I did a maisa be your dime to push it aside. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're always in the back of your mind. You're going to change your mind when it comes to putting it. Therefore, that's why it's going to be mutter. Now, number three, Oifan Gimel is on the next page. Oifan Pan Gimel. Davar Sheroi L'machal Behema. It's not really fit for human consumption, animal consumption. Ach Me'er Shabbos. L'choyim Muchon L'kachachim Behema. Oif Shemesu B'Shabbos. So here's the example. An animal dies on Shabbos. Af Al Pi She'ein Be'ashevin HaShmosh Adayin Choyu B'Renew Healthy. Basar chai. So what happens? So you had over here food that was set aside for your animals. And guess what happens? So am I going to eat the food? No way. Because this food I must give to my animal. So the food has been removed from my mind. And guess what happened on Shabbos? The animal suddenly dies on Shabbos. So now the animal doesn't need the food anymore. The animal has gone to a better place. The animal does not need the food because the animal died on Shabbos. So what am I going to do with the food? I will eat it. I will enjoy the food that was set aside for the animals. But it was muksa. When Shabbos began, the food was not meant for me. It was meant for the animals. Muksa always follows that. That's the rule. We all know the rule is that muksa all depends on its status. Erev, Shabbos, and Bein Hashmoshes. The moment before Shabbos begins, what status did this object have? If this object was set aside for the animals and the moment before Shabbos began, that means it's muksa for me. It's not for me. It's been set aside. Now the conditions have changed. The animal died. So what am I going to do with the food? So this is the third exception. You're allowed to enjoy the food. You're allowed to enjoy this with the afilu b'Shabbos assumed the taltel. If the animal did not die and the food was set aside for the animals, they're allowed to touch it. It's muksa. Like fish that's not been salted at all. Even though it has been melted. And now what happened? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't translate correctly. I'm reading the wrong page. I'm sorry. Let's read one more time. I'm getting a page. Tofkuf Tazayin. Okay, and I'm on the very top of the page. Davar Shiroil Lachal Behema in Ach Meir Shabbos Lohi Muchon Lachach. Again, Behema. The Oif Shemesu B'Shabbos. Af Al Pish Shabbos Shmoshes Adayin Lohi. They were healthy animals, and therefore the food was set aside for the animals. Ubosur Chai. So it doesn't matter. Food is always food. In the back of your mind, you're planning maybe the animal will die and the food will be not necessary for the animals, and I then will eat the food myself. Another example, basar chai shenisrach b'Shabbos, raw meat that has become rotten. The yafal gav de esma lo hoya omed l'klavim, it was not yet fit for dogs. Okay, this is another example with the meat has. It was basar chai, so raw meat is muksa. Raw meat, I'd set it aside. But now on Shabbos, the raw meat has spoiled. So what will I do with this raw meat? I'm going to give it to the dogs. But it's muksa. Because before, when Shabbos began at Bein HaShmoshes, the meat was meant for me. And the meat was raw. And being that it's raw, I had no. It's muksa. There's no possible use I can get out of this meat. But now on Shabbos, the conditions have changed. The meat has spoiled. So I'm not going to eat it anymore. I'm done with it. Now who's going to eat the meat? The other way, the animal's going to eat the meat. So can I pick it up and bring it outside and give it to my dog for lunch? Muksa. When Shabbos began, it was not meant for the animal. It was meant for me. And me, it was muksa because I'm not going to, it's raw. No, if the conditions have changed, it's not muksa. You can take the meat and you can give it to the dogs. Why? Because we're dealing with food. Notice all the different examples over here. The dinner over here is food. When it comes to food, food is in a category by itself. Even though the food has been set aside not for your use, if it's food, it doesn't make a difference. In the back of your mind, you're always planning and plotting a way to eat the food and recognize that the situation changes, you're going to eat the food. Exception number 4. Pan Dalet. Davar Sheroi Lishtamesh Boi Elo Shenishtano B'Shabes Ima Shohoya Fahave Kein Noilat. Okay, we have a situation of Noilat, something which was in one state when Shabbos began, and then on Shabbos it changed entirely, so it's Noilat, it's like a case of Noilat, so we would think that it should be Aser, but no, there are many examples where it's Mut, and here he explains, Shenispar Lekamon, Mikol Makom, Kevon She'enu Ma'aseh Chodosh, Gam Ze Mutar B'Shabbos. So we need an example to illustrate this. We learn Kelim Shenishmeru B'Shabbos Ve'enen Ruim L'Malachtan Shoyso Ruim Kodem Shira U'Mikol Makom Ruim L'Chasois B'Hem. It's right for a different use. I have a jar, and the jar when Shabbos begins is used meant for one purpose, and now it shatters on Shabbos. So now, and I'm not going to throw it in the garbage, because the broken pieces are ideal for something else. I would never have used the jar for the second purpose, but now that it shatters on Shabbos, I can use the broken pieces for something else. So technically that's called Noilat. So he says that's not called Noilat because it was fit for something before, it's fit for something now. That's not called Noilat. Noilat is only when and before Shabbos begins, it has absolutely no function whatsoever. No function. And now on Shabbos, it has a function. That's Noilat. But when before Shabbos began, it had a function. And now on Shabbos, it has a new function, so it's transformed from one function to another function. That is not called Noilat, it's Mutter. Another example. I have at home pieces of wood, and the wood is fit for one purpose. And now the guy takes the wood and he makes the wood into a utensil. So he has transformed something from one state to another state, but both states had a purpose, had a use. That's not called Noilat, it's Mutter. Another example, there was a piece of meat, and the meat was attached, the bone was attached to the piece of meat. So therefore the bone is not muksa, because it's part of the meat. Now on Shabbos, the bone has become soft, and is separated from the meat, and it has a new function. So it doesn't matter. Now this bone is fit for dogs. So now on Shabbos it has a new function. It's fit for dogs. Before Shabbos began, before Shabbos, it was hard. It was not fit for dogs. But it was not muksa, because it was attached to the meat. Now on Shabbos, it's detached from the meat, but the meat, the bone has become soft, and now it's fit for dogs. So it's entirely different, it's an entirely different purpose. That should be called Noilat. It doesn't matter, since before Shabbos began, it had one purpose, and now on Shabbos, at the middle of Shabbos, is a different purpose. That's not called Noilat, and it's not muksa. Ach! However, Yeshem some said the klitsh nishma in the Havi Nerla, Gomab Dinakil, come on. When it came to the utensil which broke, so he says that not everyone agrees with what we just said, we have to see Lidwan, some will disagree. El Imkain Roy, Lakal, Basecha, Ezamachal, Omashke, Mein, Malachto, Harishaina, Kugan Shivri Aveira, bowl, Litzak, Basecha, Mikves, some soup, Vishivri Sukhis, Litzak, Basecha, Shem, to pour into oil. Well, the Rebbe, according to their opinion, Gam, Benachwish, Asa, Kli, Asa, Gam, Shabbos, it's also going to be Asa because it has to have the same use. So he comes pointing over here, this I told you, that it's not called Noilat if it has a use before and after, even though they're entirely different. That's not according to all opinions. He's presenting here the opinion that says, it must be a Me'ain. If when it's transformed into a new state on Shabbos, the new utensil has to have some resemblance. The new function of the new utensil must resemble in some way its original purpose that it had before Shabbos began. Only then can we say that it's not called Noilat. But if the transformation is so great, so significant, where the new form, that the new use is completely different than what it was originally, that's called the bona fide Noilat, and then it's going to be usher to move on Shabbos. Ul devarim gam kein, with the kli, with the same example, Eila boy fanu mutar b'Shabbos v'asum b'yom tov. So here is the difference. Here he goes to point out, this is the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. These four different exceptions. Okay, these are things which most people don't know. I certainly don't know them. But these are the four different exceptions of the chumrah of the chumrah, and this and this. What they do say that I do remember is that when it comes to Yom Tif, where is the idea of muksa expressed, the chumrah, the stringency of Yom Tif over Shabbos with regard to muksa, only in reference to the category called noilad. Noilad. All of these examples over here, well, they're all noilad. Okay, all of these things are. Well, not, that's not so. It's not all. The first two are not noilad. The first one is not noilad. The second one is also not noilad. It's only the second and the third are noilad. Okay, so these four is what he says are all osir on Yom Tov and mutter on Shabbos. Let's review in our minds. Okay, let's review. What have we learned? We learned over here that when it comes, there's something called the muksa. First, there are four types of muksa: muksa machmas mils, muksa machmas daitoi, muksa machmas iser, and muksa machmas mitzvah. Machmas mils was like a nair, something which is disgusting. It's disgusting. It's full of oil. It's full of ashes. It's disgusting. That's muksa machmas mils. You're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Now we discuss muksa midaitoi. I've set this in my mind. In my mind, I'm not going to use this object on Shabbos. And now on Shabbos, I changed my mind. It doesn't matter. It's too little, too late. You can't do it. However, he told us, even though before Shabbos began, I set this aside, there are four exceptions. Number one, food that's not roi liachila lechatchila, raw meat or fish that has been salted. It's not roi liachila lechatchila. I put it aside, and now on Shabbos I want to eat the raw meat. I want to eat the salted fish. It's okay, even though it's muksa midaitoi. If you change your mind, what? Frozen meat as well. It's frozen meat, same thing, right? Frozen meat. It's not. That's called raw meat, and therefore you let it defrost. It's not muksa. That's what it says. It's not muksa. The second exception is this. Number two was merchandise, food. But this food has to be perfect. This has to be food that is roy to eat lichatchila. I'm in the business of selling chocolates, and I have my shop downstairs. And on Shabbos, I want to take a chocolate bar. I want to give a chocolate bar to my children. As a guest come, I want to give. So we don't have any chocolate in the house. We don't eat that stuff. But in the basement, we have a business. We're running a business, and we have all the stuff in the basement. So you've got to go take the merchandise and give it to the guests. Yes, food is food. Even though before Shabbos began, you set it aside. Kernels of wheat. It's royal achil l'chatchila. I put it in the ground in order to take root. It did not yet take root. Doesn't matter. Food is food. An egg, I put under the chicken. It should turn into a chick. It doesn't make a difference. Food is food. You can take it no matter what it is. Whatever it is food. Exception number three, something that was roy for an animal. It's food, but not for me. This is animal food. So for me, it's not food. And then all of a sudden, the animal dies. So the animal doesn't eat it. I want to eat it now. So is it mutter? Yes, it is. Oh, but before Shabbos began, I set it aside. Food is always the exception. All the way around. The food was fit for me and not fit for the dog. And now on Shabbos, it's no longer fit for me. Am I allowed to take it and give it to the dog? Yes, because food is food. Once food, either food for me, food for the dog, food is always mutter. We don't. And then the other example was noilad. Something has been transformed from one utensil to another utensil. So according to what he says over here, derech klal, is as long as this object had a function before Shabbos began, and now at this moment has a function in the middle of Shabbos, even though something has transpired where it's a different function, so it's not what I had in mind. I had in mind for one thing, and here it's something else. It doesn't matter. It's not called noilad. It's mutter no matter what. Some want to say that the second function has to be a me'ain of the first function. Has to resemble. Before it was used to hold something, it has to also hold something so it can't hold anything now, then it's going to be a problem. And these four examples are only true with regard to Shabbos. On Yom Tov, these four examples that we just illustrated are osur. Osur Yom Tov is more chamor than Shabbos.
Part of it should be allowed on Yom Tov. Only because of the
Gezerah. The Gezerah, exactly. It should be allowed. Echel Nefesh should be allowed. We're even more matter when it comes to Echel Nefesh. But he's saying it's true. That's oichad. That's to make food, to prepare new food. But things that you have set aside before Shabbos began from your mind, it's worse. If you wouldn't make new food, I want to cook. I have some potatoes. I have some raw meat. So that's my plan was to cook them on Yom Tov. But this meat, my plan was not to cook on Yom Tov. My kavana was, I'm not eating this on Yom Tov. This meat is for next Shabbos. Frozen meat. Frozen meat, he seems to say, is muks on Yom Tov. And you have no plan to use this meat for your Yom Tov meal. This meat was set aside to be eaten next week, 2 weeks from now. And it's in the freezer. You have a freezer in the basement where you're storing meat for the future. And the only meat you're planning to eat for Yom Tov is what you have in the freezer upstairs. And now you run out of meat. You want to go take new meat from the freezer downstairs in the basement. He says over here that it's osur. It's osur. Yom Tov, it's muksa midaitai. Muksa midaitai is osur on Yom Tov more than Shabbos. That's what he says. Are the poskim as vans that make it? They don't pass on the chayodim. I don't know. We have to see. After we do the goal over here, we want to do this.
Company,
what?
They ate more than you expected.
Seems to say not. Seems to say it doesn't matter. That's very chiddush. Muksa on Yom Tov is much more severe than muksa on Shabbos. That's what it says. These four examples. Now let's just go and do a little more. Another 2 minutes. Let's over here. Lama one more paragraph. Lama lamizeh. Devarim. Now we go to things that are not exceptions. Lamalum is the drum shamed lachilas adam al tashmish. Onam kevan shabbos in ruim el afilu idea track. Things that we have food which is set for, meant for a person, but it's not possible on Shabbos to eat these things, period. Lachain kaimlan afil b'shabbos asurim glutal, kain dogim shal nimel hu klal. The shuman shall be a fat of an animal afil shikvar hu mechutach. Because you have to cook it. You have to, fat, shuman, appears to be, it's impossible to eat b'shas. Raw meat, we mentioned that you can b'shas hatchak, eat raw meat. But shuman, fat, cannot be eaten raw under any condition. Can you cook raw meat on Shabbos? No. So if the raw meat has been set aside before Shabbos, the shuman, before Shabbos, it's muksa. No matter what. The shuman is muksa. And also, basar kosher she'ein royal le'echol chai, raw meat that is so hard, that is in a matzav, that cannot be eaten. So these things are muksa. Even though these things are food, these things by definition are food. It's fish. It's meat. It's shuman. It's food. Didn't we learn that food is never ever muksa? Food kamad is never muksa. That's one of the big exceptions. We hear, we always say food is never muksa. Eating food that's not really royal achila. It's royal achilu to some degree. It's never muksa. That's really what we will move for. Even huksumi daitai, you can mishas tchak. But food that's mamish, not royal achilu, period. For example, shuman, he says, or you have raw meat, which is a certain type of meat which cannot be eaten at all. Or you have, what was the other example? Fish that's not been salted. That it says in salting, you're not allowed to salt fish on Shabbos. Then that indeed is muksa, and you mean muksa, you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Okay, we have to stop over here. We'll pick up tomorrow with Vav. Oifan Vav.